Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
So I took two vacations, two different years. One year, I took a vacation and I stopped everything. I did not work, but I also, since my work is religious, actually that vacation, I must confess to you, I stopped reading the Bible, I stopped praying, I just stopped. I did nothing. And I came out of that vacation not feeling particularly rested. The other vacation I took, I stopped everything except for searching for God. And all my work was stopped, but I continued to read scripture. I prayed. I meditated. I just spent time with him that particular vacation. And I came back feeling refreshed, ready to take on the world because I was resting in him. And that's the only place we really find rest.
You know, it's interesting because rest in the Bible is more than just physical rest, even though that's where we start. We start by ceasing our regular activities so that we can actually have our mind in God. But our rest is so much deeper and profound than simply, I'm not going to work today.
No, it's true. In fact, rest, I think, involves a lot of remembering, too. And we'll talk about that, I think, at a later time. But, too, remembering, you don't remember what God has done for you and who He is unless you stop. The people who are grieving need to remember. And they can't do that. They can't do the work of grieving unless they stop and rest.
You know, I don't know if I ever told you that once I told my husband what I wanted him to write in my epitaph. Is that how you say it? My tombstone?
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I already have the text, I said. And he was laughing. And I said, I want you to put there, she entered God's rest many years before she died.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and good. He called me 20 minutes later from a store, and he goes, do you want that metal or stone?
Yeah.
And he just shocked me. He was joking with me like he was going to do it right there. Yeah. But, you know, I really wanted to...
You know what I want on mine?
What?
I told you I was tired.
Well, this one is a truth theological statement that I really want to make, that you actually enter God's rest while you are alive, that you can become this Sabbathed soul, we call it, because the Sabbath was a feast of remembrance. It was one of the many anniversaries that God gave Israel to remember who they were in Him and who He was to them.
So that we might have a Sabbathed soul.
Yeah, I love it.
A soul of rest. That's good.
I love that.
Well, let's take a look here at Exodus chapter 23 as we're looking at God's plan for rest, resting the land, resting the people, resting in Him. And we're going to start with verse 10. You shall sow your land for 6 years and gather in its fields. But on the seventh year, you shall let it rest and lie fallow, so that the needy of your people may eat, and whatever they leave, the beast of the field may eat. You are to do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. So they were to work the field for 7 years, 6 years, and let it lie fallow on the seventh year.
Yeah, and you know, some of the principles that we learned with the manna on this, Exodus 16, are talked about throughout Exodus and Leviticus, because God had promised Israel, and you can read this in some other parts on this seventh year, that He would provide for them 3 years' worth of crops on the sixth year, so that on the seventh year, they had food, and then on the eighth year, which they were starting to sow, they would have food, and the ninth year, they would have food because they have to wait for the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So God actually promises them a threefold harvest on the sixth year so that they can survive all those years just for, you know, observing the rest of the land.
Right. The other thing that this does is it gives the land truly an opportunity to rest and replenish the natural nutrients and minerals that are taken out of it by the plants that you grow. And so giving it a year off really does make the next crop that much better. And it gives the land an opportunity to rest. But there's a lesson for us there as well. If life is all work, we're in trouble. At verse 12, 6 days you are to do your work, but on the seventh day you shall cease from all labor so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female slave, as well as your stranger may refresh themselves. Now concerning everything which I have said to you, be on your guard and do not mention the name of other gods, nor let them be heard from your mouth.
This was one of the ways that God reminded them that He was in charge of them, and that He would provide for them, and that they had to rest in this awareness. And this is the moment where I want to tell you something that I found a few years ago. You know, I observe a Sabbath day since I'm a baby because mm-hmm. I was born into missionaries that believed in a home of missionaries that believe in this principle. But it wasn't until many years ago that I kind of put it all together. As I was studying the Bible, I realized that the patterns of seven mm-hmm. are patterns of redemption, where God teaches something that is greater than ceasing work. And then I realized that the concept of the Goel, of the Redeemer, was related to the seven.
Yeah, that's right. In the 50th year, after 49 years, there was a year of Goel for everyone when Jesus would be, when the Lord would be your Redeemer, your kinsman
yes,
Redeemer.
Yes, because if your kinsman didn't actually come and redeem you, every seven times seven, you will have this one year where God will say, well, I'm taking over and I'm freeing everybody because mm-hmm. all of you guys are redeemed. And all these things were done in patterns of seven.
And what we're talking about here is that if indeed a Hebrew was sold into slavery, they served for 6 years. The seventh year, they were then freed.
Yes.
So you could not be in slavery that long.
Yes.
And if indeed no one became your Redeemer and let you go, if indeed mm-hmm. they were not following that, then every 49 years,
yes.
everyone
would...
all debts were forgiven, all
Correct.
Debts were canceled,
Correct.
And everyone was free. You start over again.
Yeah. See, so when you start seeing the development of the concept of Sabbath, when we get to the New Testament, I need to take you to a verse that is very dear to me, and many people have told me that this is their favorite verse, mm-hmm. Which is Matthew 11:28. Come to me. You
yeah.
have it?
No, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Yeah.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And what I found that I was very interesting is that this word rest, in the Greek is anapausis.
Mm-hmm.
This word is exclusively used in Exodus and Leviticus for Sabbath rest.
That's right.
It's used for every Sabbath or Sabbath year, or Sabbath feast, something that would happen on the seventh month, like the Day of Atonement. So they always use the same word that what Jesus is offering here is he's the fulfillment of all these celebrations.
Mm-hmm. If indeed your rest on a Sabbath day is merely physical and not spiritual, you're really not celebrating Sabbath, because Sabbath is resting from the labor of trying to save yourself. I think that this issue of rest is so important to us, because we just work ourselves into a frenzy, and we forget that really this day of rest is important because it reminds us we rest in Jesus. He is the one who wins our salvation.
What does it mean to rest spiritually on the Sabbath, Mike?
To me, it is a celebration and a remembrance that Christ has done the work for me. That I'm not trying to earn my way to heaven. I'm not trying to earn my salvation. I rest in what Christ has accomplished and is yet to accomplish in my life.
You know, I really, really believe that there is a developmental understanding of the meaning of the Sabbath in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That the minimum understanding is in Exodus, where people are
stop,
slaves
yeah.
and they stop working for the first time ever they encounter the rest of God.
Which is great in itself. I mean,
Absolutely.
Already that's a blessing for them
Absolutely.
Already.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
But then it continues with all these concepts of Goel and 70 times, 7 times 7 and
mm-hmm.
the fact that they would all be freed on this Day of Atonement every 49 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, we have the New Testament starting to clarify that there is rest in Christ that these things were pointing to. And perhaps one of the most specific sentences that say that many people of Israel actually entered the promised land, but they really never enter God's rest
yeah.
because they didn't understand. It's in Hebrews.
Yeah, that's right. Hebrews 4, I think, isn't it? But the truth is that if indeed your coming to Christ has increased your burden, I don't think you fully understand what it means
Absolutely.
To be in Christ, because
Absolutely.
Coming to Christ gives you rest. It decreases the burden rather than increases it.
And it gives you rest in many ways. I mean, you celebrate this once every 7 days, but you live a life of rest. When you have an anxiety, you rest that Christ will take care of it, because the rest that God offers is also for your soul. It's not simply a weekly celebration that we are going to stop our work so we can concentrate on who Christ is and what he has done.
I think a major portion of this is remembering what God has done for you.
Mm-hmm.
That rest is an opportunity to remember, because with God, remembering is a sacred act. before the leaders of Israel would lead them into a new campaign, a new war. They would bring all the people of Israel together and rehearse for them the history of God's leadership throughout the history of Israel, so that you would remember God has always been here in the past. He will deliver us now. And Sabbath is an opportunity to remember how He has delivered you, how He has redeemed you, and to know that He will be there in your future.
You know, Hebrews 4, if you don't mind going back to that. See, Hebrews does a lot of this. They take a lot of things from Exodus and then explain the real meaning in Christ Jesus. And one of those is the believer's rest in Hebrews 4. And even starting with verse 8, it says that, you know, Joshua was able to get the people of Israel to the promised land, but some of them didn't really enter God's rest because they didn't understand what He had accomplished. You want to read 8-10?
It says, For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his.
This is one of the places where the seventh day of the creation, when God ceased from his works, is paralleled with the work of salvation when he says we should rest from our own works.
Again, tying the Sabbath, the concept of Sabbath, into a celebration of our salvation and resting from the attempts to save ourselves, instead remembering what Christ has done and resting secure in that knowledge.
What a great life we would have if we would just learn to rest in Christ, to let our weight go as if a baby in the Father's hands, isn't it?
I agree with you, because there's no finer place to fall asleep than in that the arms of safety and security. As you rest in Christ, He gives you genuine refreshment, because you know that you are loved, accepted, and that you are forgiven by the one who gives you rest.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101 Media. Until next time, live free.